A series that I hope you guys have been enjoying called The Awe of God. We've been diving into God's word to uncover goodness, the goodness of having godly fear. John Brevere said this right here, that the fear of the Lord is more glorious, more awe-inspiring, and even more joyous than we could ever imagine. And I really believe that God gave us, I mean, I'm talking about Harvest, this series, so that we could learn to live out the rest of our days in awe of our amazing God. Can I get an amen? Last week, Pastor Dana brought an amazing message called Irresistible Holiness, really talking about running toward God. If you didn't get a chance to catch it, make sure you do. But some of the points that kind of came out and was right at us was that she talked a little bit about what does it mean to be holy, and really encouraged us to understand that holiness begins in the heart. She took us through a great explanation between between positional and behavioral holiness, and that and I loved her idea about being abandoned to God. Just you and I being abandoned to God and seeking that irresistible holiness. But today I want to talk to you a little bit about obeying God's word no matter what. Obeying God's word no matter what. I was taking a brief look back at my life and some of the things that God had done in the moving of it all. And I was thinking about when he called me into ministry. I was thinking about the time that he set up a God appointment with Dick Foth, who was the president of Bethany University at the time, and he invited me to come out and go to school there and to pursue my ministerial degree and play basketball. I started thinking about the moves that Lori and I made according to what God was doing and us just trying to be as obedient as we possibly could throughout our lifetimes. And then when I stepped down from 3-1, one of the things that I remember there was when God told me my time was ending there, that I gave him pushback. Church, I mean, I'm pushing back at God. I'm not agreeing with what he's saying to me. But at some point, when we fall into obedience, God's plan is always best. Can I get an amen? God asked me in every one of these seasons of my life, do you trust me? Do we trust God? And I truly believe that one of the things that God is trying to say to us through this series is do you really trust me? Will you obey me? No matter what I tell you to do, will you obey God? When we obey God, when we obey his word, God will use our steps of obedience to be a catalyst for him to move in our lives. God knows the pace that we can keep. His pace gives us the ability to keep up with what he's going to call us to. So here's the questions again. Do I trust God? Do I trust his word? Am I obeying God's word? I can remember a season of my life of 3 years where I was studying at Bethany University, you guys, and I'm taking classes like homiletics and hermeneutics and theology 1, 2, and 3, Roman through Romans, Old Testament, intro to Greek and Hebrew, and all these things that are going on. And what I found was that I was studying my Bible so much as a college student for the test or for the paper or for the grade that I allowed myself to view God's word as just another one of my textbooks. I never picked it up unless I was getting ready for a test. I had lost my love for being in his word. Church, the awe was gone. There was no devotional time. There was no seeking him in his word. There was no hearing from God through his word. The Bible had just become another one of my many books that I was studying. I had lost the holy fear of God's word. And think about this, how we rationalize even today with what we go on with our culture of what keeps us from really getting into God's word. And let me say this before I get deeper into the message. We have to understand that prayer and worship and reading God's word are three of the staples that we really, really hang our faith upon. And what we do to rationalize is we will, not to be in God's word, we will watch TV, Netflix, Hulu, Prime, Disney Plus. We have our devices, our iPads and our phones. We will do YouTube. We will get on endless trails of Facebook and Instagram and the thousands of apps that are available to us on our phones. We choose fitness and running and writing and lifting. Our calendars are always going to be full. How many of us understand that our calendars are always going to be full? We fill our days in a way that shows that God's word is an afterthought. I am not judging. I am not mad. I don't want anybody to feel like I'm pointing them out. I am just being as real with you as I possibly can, because this has become an epidemic in the body of Christ. Guys, listen, I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about us who love Jesus. We're not in God's word. People of faith spending little to no time in God's word. Believers have made no time for God's word to have an impact on their lives. And I want to say this is going to, I think it comes up on the screen for you, that if you have no time to spend with God in his word, you are not in relationship with him. If you're not spending time in God's word, you are not in relationship with him. You can flip this. You can be reading his word all the time and worshiping, but you're not praying. Guys, you're not in relationship with him. But we're talking about his word today. The Father, actually in scripture, we're going to read this in a second, is that the Father is looking for those who have captured a holy fear for his word. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2 says this. You guys read this along with me. It says this right here, that this is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Could you build me a temple as good as that? Could you build me such a resting place? My hands have made both heaven and earth. They and everything in them are mine. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts and who tremble at what? At my word. In fact, the message says this. It says, this is what I'm looking for. This is something that I'm looking for. God is saying that he is looking for men and women who have a holy fear of his word, that tremble at his word, that love and obey his word, that look for him and search for him in his word. Guys, when I was at Bethany, I had lost a key part of who I was and my relationship with God. I mean, the question is do I match the description of the person that God is looking for? Again, we're talking about believers, not unbelievers. We're talking about believers who are dabbling with horoscope, tarot cards, spiritual guides. We had a family in our church that she had lost her mom, and she was devastated by it, and her family went to a palm reader or to have seances just so that she could speak to her mother again. This is a believer. Spirit guides, palm reading. Believers that are messing around and playing games with Ouija boards, introducing crystals into their homes, they are not just for fun. They will actually destroy your soul. Especially for those who have known the touch of God on their lives. You can be a church member. You can sing in the worship team. You can be a leader. You can have spiritual giftings, and you can have the power of the anointing and still miss God. You can profess Christ, but not possess him. You can talk the talk, but not walk the walk. I think about the story of King Saul. And I'm paraphrasing such a long reading in the Old Testament, but here is a man that King Saul's greatest loss in the end was that he did not want God. He wanted an answer from God. He wanted direction from God. He wanted his blessing, but he didn't truly want God. And in my own life, there have been times that it seemed too hard to obey what God was asking me to obey. Obeying doesn't come easy to us human folk. I want the favor. Pastor Matt, I want the healing. I want his anointing. But to obey him, to obey what he's telling me to do and his word. You see, King Saul had it all. But because he wasn't obedient, because he strayed away from God and his word and his leading. Guys, look at this. This is his words in 1 Samuel 28, 15. He actually says, God has departed from me. He no longer answers me. Saul knew he had lost something. Saul was operating only with a form of godliness, but he denied God's word and his power. And if Saul had been searching for God, he wouldn't have gone to a witch. guys, he wouldn't have gone to a witch, he would have gone to his knees. Come on, give me an amen. This is serious stuff. And in awe, he would have been trembling at God's word. Will you move according to God's word, or will you continue to try to find a shortcut around it? Will you forgive according to God's word, or will you try to even the score? Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Guys, one of the things that I've found going through this series is there's not a lot of things to shout at. Yeah, y'all notice this? This is tough stuff. I read a scripture a couple weeks ago, and I think it was where Jesus was talking about that his Father has the power to kill you and throw you in the hell. Do y'all remember that scripture? And we talked about, I saw two people stand right up and walked right out the back of our church. You see, we can't just cut out portions of God's word. We can't just read the things that make us feel good all the time, amen? And if we're really, truly want to be in awe of God and his word, we have to see his word as it is. If we are truly in awe, if we are truly searching for God's plan in our lives, obedience will actually shift from being a burden to being a great source of joy. Yes. Listen to what I just said. If you will get into a place of obedience with God, it won't continue to be a burden, I promise you. It will actually turn into a great source of joy. Look at this in Psalms 112:1. Praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Come on, say it one more time. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Look at this in the same verse in the Passion Translation. Shout in celebration of praise to the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Come on. Everyone who loves the Lord and delights in him will cherish his words and be blessed beyond expectation. New King James Version says, blessed is the man or woman who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Now, guys, here's the thing. We don't have to go into the Hebrew to understand what's being said right here. Can everybody read what this is saying? That if we get into God, into his word, into obeying him, there are some great things coming our way. That about being in relationship with him. It's coming to grip with his otherness. That we are truly in awe of him and his word. We have an actual holy fear for his word. Our obedience actually creates joy in our lives. So much so that the payoff is beyond anything that we could possibly imagine. Hope, direction, receiving much needed counsel, no longer filled with anger and rage. I actually stop feeling sorry for myself when I read God's word. Come on, church, hear what I say. My heart is no longer empty. I'm hearing, I'm feeling, I'm seeing, I'm believing differently because of his spirit. And the danger will always be that when we lose our awe, when we lose the desire of being with him and being in his word. In 1984, I had graduated from high school, and we weren't a wealthy family. My dad had got a great promotion with Searle Laboratories and was the rep for Northern Texas and stuff, and he was just able to bless me with a car when I graduated from high school. And he bought me the first release of the Honda CRX. How many of you guys remember the Honda CRX? Well, I have one of those. Here's a picture of me in 1987. I'm sitting in the middle. Now, guys, can I joke on myself a little bit? This is a picture for the yearbook, and I'm in torn sweats, jacked up shoes, and what's up with my pose? You know what I mean? It's like... But there's my car on the far right over here to your, what would that be? Anyway, to my, yeah, you're right. And so this was the car that my dad got me. And I remember I got it home. My dad was going through the owner, kind of the book with me and walking me around the car. I drove it home. And he was telling me things like this. He'd say, Matt, got to watch your gas. As long as you keep oil in that car, change it, put it in, change it, put it in. He goes, and you keep this car clean. When people get in your car, you're cleaning it every time. If you'll do this, this car is going to last you a long time. I think we had that car for 10 years. And so I was like, yeah, Dad, yeah, okay. And he's telling me these things. He's being very clear with me. And so, guys, I'd had this car for 3 months. And there was a party that all of us wanted to go to. And you guys ever seen the movie Footloose? Well, it was kind of like one of those things where you pull up all your cars and trucks and you point your lights to one area and they start playing music and everybody's dancing and there's drinking going on and all this. Well, at some point, it's time to go. Somebody calls the cops. They're coming out here to clear us out. And the next thing you know, I've got four guys in the back of my car. I'm taking them home. I'm putting them in their cars. I get home at 2 or 3 in the morning, get in bed, and my door flies open at 6 a.m. And guess who came in? My father. And he was yelling at me, "Get out of bed. Get your clothes on. Get outside and meet me at your car." And I'm sitting there. I'm trying to get my clothes on. I don't know what's going on. And I walk out to the car. I can barely see. And he throws open the hatch of the CRX, and there's mud, dirt, beer caps, you know, grass and hay and probably some dog stuff in there. Who knows what all was in there? And I'm sitting there and I realize what I have done. He's yelling at me. He's giving it to me. And guys, here's the thing is, I knew exaction. He had warned me. But at some point, I lost my fear. I lost my respect. I didn't care. I chose to disregard his word, and I decided to do things my way. Now, let me fast forward a little bit. I cleaned the back of that car so good, you could have ate your breakfast off the back of it. Does everybody understand where I'm coming from? But I needed a wake-up call. He had gifted me with something that I wasn't honoring anymore. John Bevere says that the person who fears God always obeys. Isn't that a good thought? Let's get back to King Saul. Now, this is pre-King David. This is before David comes in to the picture with Saul. God has set up this request for him that he is going to wipe out the Amalekites. He's been very specific. No one is to survive, not even their animals. But at some point, somewhere in that, Saul decides to do it his way, and he goes, and he kills most of the people, but he saves the king, King Agag, and he takes all of the best livestock with him, keeps the best of the livestock, brings it back. Samuel comes and is calling him on what he's done, and Saul's like, "I did exactly what the Lord said. I did everything he asked me to do. I've done it." And Samuel goes, "Well, why am I hearing the bleeding and the mooing of cows and sheep?" And then Saul, second thing, he goes, "Well, we kept the best because we wanted to be able to sacrifice this to the Lord." Well, guys, look what Samuel's reply is right here in 1 Samuel 15:22. "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice." He even goes on, he says things to Saul like this, "Weren't you once small? But yet you became king over all the tribes of Israel. Didn't I anoint you as king? Didn't I give you specific instructions for your mission against the Amalekites? Why did you not obey?" If we are not in awe of God's word, if there is not a holy fear when we read it, if there's no commitment to the word that he gives us, it is only a matter of time. Listen to what I'm about to say. It is only a matter of time that our circumstances and our situations will reveal just how uncommitted we are to what God is saying into our lives. No joy, no boundaries, no trembling, and even people who are watching us will understand that they're, let me just say it this way. There are some of us that are believers, and I'm not isolating anybody. I think this is an epidemic, and we have believers that we have friends that don't know Jesus, and they're not coming to Jesus because they see how we live our lives, and we're no different than they are. There's no difference. James 1:22 says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like." The Message actually says it this way: act on what you hear. So I've got two thoughts. I don't have a lot of time to do this, but I'm going to give you just two thoughts. That when we choose to obey, no matter what, obedience to God's word opens doors we can never open on our own. Amen? C.S. Lewis says this, that obedience is the key that opens every door. Everybody say every door. Obedience is the key that opens every door. True obedience, complete obedience opens every door. I had some fun thinking about this. Lori and I moved out from California to Chesapeake in 2007. I would estimate, I'm just going to, you know, there's no way I could know this, but we're talking thousands of times I have driven past this corner right here at Kempsville and Greenbrier. And every time I would drive by, didn't matter what I was doing in ministry or where I was in life or whatever, I would drive by and I would go, wow, it must be really cool to pastor church on this corner of the boulevard here. Like, what an amazing opportunity. I remember in 2006, before I moved out here, I sent a letter to the Assemblies of God in here, just letting them know I was moving here, whatever. I never got a response back from Harvest at the time. But guys, here's the thing was, is that even when I visited for the first time back in the summer of 2018, I remember thinking, what a great church. What a great church to be a pastor at. But the door remained shut. I couldn't open this door on my own. I just stayed obedient in my walk with what God was doing in my life. I stayed obedient through the good and bad. God already knew that I would start attending Harvest in February of 2020. But he opened the door, a door I couldn't open on my own. He flew open the door in an opportunity to be your pastor. And can I just say this? That on the day that I said yes to God back in 1984, he knew 39 years later, I would be here with you at Harvest. Amen. That's an open door. And in between my yes to God and arriving here at Harvest, there have been good times in church. There have been some very low, dark times. And if we only obey when conditions are favorable, we will miss God. When we delay our obedience, we miss his will. If we choose not to obey because it doesn't make sense, we are missing the wisdom of God. Did you know I've actually had people say out loud to me or to Lori, this does not make sense what you're doing. What God had told us to do, that we had people literally say, this can't be God, it doesn't make sense. Proverbs 3:5-6 says this, trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Even when others say it doesn't make sense, choose God's wisdom over man. Everybody wants to have doors of opportunity open to them, but it's the miracle doors. It's those doors that open up that you say, that could only be God. Those are the doors that I want to walk through. Amen. Come on, give me an amen. That's where I want to be. I want to go through the doors where they say, it's just not possible. Doors we could not open up on our own. I want to walk through those doors, obeying God, having a heart that is fully captivated, in holy awe of who God is, completely desiring his word. And when we do that, it opens doors that nobody else could open for us. I'm sorry. We were up at the LEAD conference and up in Northern Virginia for ministers of the Assemblies of God District Council. And our superintendent starts preaching a word. Well, he starts talking about Peter being in jail. And I'm sitting there, and I get these chills all over my body, and I look at Lori, and I go, that's actually the same scripture that I'm preaching on a Sunday. And so, guys, there is probably no better story in our word of a door being opened that he couldn't open on his own other than this story that I'm about to read to you. So I want us to read this together, and it's found in Acts chapter 12, verses 6 through 11. Herod has thrown Peter in jail for doing Peter things, loving Jesus, amen? And they want to put a mock trial up, and they want to persecute him in front of everybody to make an example of him and then murder him. And here's what it says. The night before Herod planned to bring him to trial, he made sure that Peter was securely bound with two chains. Peter was sound asleep between two soldiers. Some translations say he was actually chained to these soldiers. With additional guards stationed outside his cell door, when all at once an angel of the Lord appeared, filling his prison cell with a brilliant light. The angel struck Peter on his side to awaken him and said, "Hurry up, let's go." And instantly, what's it say? The chains fell off his wrists. So this is already starting to happen. Something he couldn't have done ever on his own, the chains have now fallen off of his wrists. It goes on to say that the angel told him, "Get dressed, put on your sandals," on his own, and God had miraculously opened up his door. It says that he followed the angel, and even though he thought it was only a dream or a vision, for it seemed unreal, he couldn't believe it. It didn't make sense. It was really happening. And it goes on to say that they walked unseen past the first guard and then the second before coming to the iron gate. Guys, here's the door of all doors. This is a gate that leads to the entire city, and it says that the gate swung open all by itself right in front of them. They went out into the city and were walking down a narrow street when all of a sudden the angel disappeared, and that's when Peter realized he wasn't having a dream. He said to himself, "This is really happening. The Lord sent his angel to rescue me from the clutches of Herod and from what the Jewish leaders plan to do with me." Guys, it is actually going to happen that as we become committed to the Lord, he's going to begin to open doors and opportunities in our lives that no one else could have ever opened up for us. And you're going to be sitting there saying to yourself, "I can't believe this is happening. It didn't make sense, but I just stayed obedient." And the Lord just opened the doors and he makes a way for you to walk through. All your circumstances, all your situations, all the things that were being said will not matter because he opened the door. He opened the door that no one else could open. He opens this door. What a great story. What a great example of how God can do what others could never do on their own. Not only did Peter's awe for God put him in this situation. Think about what I'm about to say. Think about it was Peter's awe for God in the first place for Jesus that got him put into prison. But it was also Peter's continual obedience, his unwavering fear of the Lord that literally walked him out of his situation. Isn't that good? And sometimes God will, just because we love God, we find ourselves in situations, but if we stay obedient, he's going to walk us out of them. It's a great thought. I think it's something that we can all relate to. Any door that God opens for you is a miracle. He opened it for you. The door you couldn't open up on your own, he has opened it up for you. Not for your wife, not for your husband. He did it for you. It was your obedience to his word because of your complete trust and awe in him. What I love about Peter's story is the reality that I think I will face in our faith journeys. Sometimes our faith, when we say yes and walk through a door that God opens for us, we will face some hard, intense opposition sometimes. Attacks that seem like they'll never end. Your obedience to God's word just might bring on the opposition of the world. In fact, I would like to say this, that I can guarantee you, you're going to get the attention of Satan himself. But I want to say this, your obedience to God's word, I want to remind you of this, will cause your God to come to your defense, to fight your battles, and to open all doors he needs you to walk through. Here's my second final thought. When we choose to obey, no matter what, when we are obedient to God's word, we are saying yes. Everybody say yes to the searching power of his word. My mom is going to be swallowing a pill here pretty soon. Now, I know that sounds weird, but let me finish. She's going to swallow this pill. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this pill, but it's loaded with cameras. Guys, take a look at this thing. I mean, it looks like a ship you could go into outer space in. Doesn't it look like that? And she's going to swallow this thing, and it's going to go through, and it's going to do its job. Its job is to go through and to search through her esophagus, her stomach, her small intestines and large, looking for anything that might not be right, to find anything that might be abnormal, or if anything, to go through and search and just make sure everything is okay. Its job is to search, to take pictures, and to be very, 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 very just like right on top of whatever it's looking for, it needs to find it. I remember in 2009, I was over in Israel playing soccer with some kids, and I felt like I hyperextended my right knee. I get home, it's still kind of messed up. They do a CAT scan, can't see anything. They do an MRI, they don't see anything. The guy on the MRI says, well, I see some arthritic like scars maybe from basketball. We'll go in and clean that up. And so when they go in, though, when they actually get in and start searching, on my meniscus on the very back, it had rolled up on the like the size of a grain piece of sand. And they would have never seen it on any scan, but they found it because they were searching for it, and they just shaved it down. Guys, here's the thing is, saying yes to God's word, searching your heart, your mind and soul should make every man and woman tremble. If you are brave enough to say, God, search me, get ready. Get ready, because it's coming. Isaiah 66:2, I, the Lord, have spoken. I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my word. You know, there are things, there are all kinds of reasons that cause people to finally give their heart over to the Lord, or to at least start seeking him. And can I just go through some of these real life examples? What about somebody that gets their second DUI? The first one scares them, kind of wakes them. Think about people that all of a sudden start really trying to come to God because they wait until their marriage is at a place to where it's failing. She's left him, he's left her, they've allowed this into their home, but all of a sudden now it's time to run, it's time to go to God and try to get some help from him, to seek him. Or depression. Depression can be so intense that you can you can't even function anymore. You can't relate to people anymore. And that depression will lead us sometimes like, God, I can't do another day of this. Please speak to me. And we go into his word. Pressure. We can't overlook pressure. Think about what pressure does to people every day. I think about men and women. Everybody say men and women. Men and women. It's literally 50-50 now, you guys, that are addicted to pornography. And when pornography doesn't work anymore, it's the next thought that scares them. Porn is not doing it anymore. What I'm thinking about now scares me, and I need to get myself to God. And what about this one? It's going to come up on the screen. When we discover that rock bottom actually has a basement. I've been at rock bottom before. And I have been unwillingly thrown into a basement because of pain, because of something that's happened in our life or a scenario or a circumstance. And guys, this is what caused, remember we talked 2 weeks ago about this in Proverbs 16:6. And the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs. It basically is saying that the fear of the Lord drives us to Jesus. Why do they tremble? Why do we tremble? Why does the word talk about that? Because of his exceeding majesty. It's when we begin to realize and discover the divine royalty of every scripture. Remember, not just the good ones, not the ones that make us feel fuzzy and warm. Every scripture is royally divine. His word is alive. Everybody say alive. We could all read the same scripture and God could say something different to every one of us. They tremble at the searching power of God's word. It doesn't just search for the negative stuff, it reveals the positive stuff. The things that we didn't even know that were there, your giftings, your ability to love and lead. Where you see weakness, he sees strength. If we were wise, all believers would ask God, they would pray that his word would be quick and powerful and a discerner of the thoughts and desires of our hearts. Think about the word discern. Discern is to detect. It's to detect anything that's not in alignment with God, whatever is wrong thinking, or this word right here. Discern is to anticipate. It's an anticipate if we're about to miss a God or opportunity or that we're about to make a bad choice. Look at this in John Bevere. He says this, that the God-fearing man or woman not only obeys, but greatly delights in doing so. Come on, man, that's a good one. It's not a burden. Obeying his word is joy. If we are truly in awe of his word, then there is this respect and there is this holy fear for his word. You will always obey his word. Not sometimes, not 90% of the time. I will always obey his word no matter what. No matter what. Oh God, let your word search me. reveal anything that is hidden within my heart. I want to be obedient to your word. Think about obedience according to Deuteronomy 28. Now, here's the crazy thing. The first part of Deuteronomy 28 is amazing. Boy, it's that last part that'll wake you up. But I'm going to read the good stuff, okay? Here we go. Look at this and this right here. If you fully obey the law, you will be blessed. Your enemies will not stand a chance. Your storehouses will always be full. I will send rain in season and bless the work of your hands. You will be the head and not the tail. You will always be on top and never on the bottom if you will listen and carefully obey his word. Doesn't mean that you'll stop making mistakes, but whatever I read, whatever it might say to me, to stop or go, Matt, chill out, take a rest. Nope, now get up and start slapping some demons. Whatever it says, I will remain in all of his word obedient no matter what. Let me say this again, and I'm gonna stop harping on this. We have pastors, leaders, evangelists that we find out that they do these things and they get exposed and they lose their churches and they lose their places of authority. And all it says to me, you guys, is that at some point, they lost their fear of the Lord because nobody could make those type of decisions to get themselves in that type of trouble unless they had lost their awe of God. Come on, give me an amen. A.W. Tozer says this, that when men no longer fear God, they transgress his laws without hesitation. The fear of consequences is no deterrent when the fear of God is gone. We need God's word to search us. I don't want to live a shipwrecked faith. I don't want to just occasionally listen to God's voice. I want to do what he says. He is so great. He is so majestic. He is so completely otherness, and yet he chooses us over and over to be in awe, his presence, of his word. Oh, help us, God. I'm going to have the worship team come on up. Can we put our hands together and let's just welcome them back to the stage? God bless them. Let's take a look at Isaiah 66 one more time. Let's look at this at a different angle. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2, and it says this. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Could you build me a temple as good as that? Could you build me such a resting place? My hands have made both heaven and earth. They and everything in them are mine. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts who tremble at my word. So this is what I want us to take as we close this up. That God is literally reminding you and I, giving us just another view into his greatness, into his majesty, and who he truly is. This is what he said to us. Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Could you possibly build me a temple that would even compare to what I have already created? And here's the beauty of it all. When we remain in awe of his Holy Spirit through our worship, when we remain in awe of Jesus through our prayer, when we remain in awe of God through our obedience to his word, we are his temple. Listen to what we just read and what we're looking at now. Could you possibly build me anything better than he's already created? And yet here it is, because of what Jesus did on the cross, because he came out of the tomb, we are his temple. We are the best of his best. Come on, amen. We are the best of the best. There is nothing we could build with our own hands or our imaginations that would ever compare to you, that could ever replace you. Those who tremble at his word, you are his temple. He abides in you. He throws open the doors you can never do on your own. He searches you. He searches your very being. It's time for all believers, all followers of the way. It's time for all to completely be sold out to God's word. Obedient to God's word no matter what. Completely in awe of his word. Let go of I just need a little bit of Jesus thinking. I need a whole lot of Jesus. Amen? Men and women and students fully committed to him and his word. Use your mouth to proclaim what is inside your heart. Jesus, change me. God, put your thoughts in my heart. Direct my footsteps. I want to hear. I desire to hear your voice. Holy Spirit, help me to remain sensitive to your leading. I am awe of your word, oh God. Let your word cause my spirit to tremble. I want your word to search me, search my heart, search my mind, and search my soul. And I have chosen to obey your word no matter what. Come on, yeah, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Come on. Let's all stand. Amen. Father God, we just want to, God, I just want to allow you to be who you are. Father, I just pray that, God, it's not good enough that we have Bibles on our phones or that we might not have a Bible at home. But, God, if we're not in it, if we're not obeying it, Father, we need your help. And so, Lord, I just ask you to help us today that, God, Father, I just want to open up the altar so that people can come and just be with you. Lord, I pray that you just talk to us. Father God, I pray that you reveal things, not just the negative, but the positive that's within us. And most importantly, Lord, I'm just praying that there's men and women and students in this room tonight, today, who say, I want to be obedient to God's word no matter what. And as the worship team sings, as they get this going, you guys, the altars are just open. We're going to worship, but the altars are open just for you to come down and you spend time with the Lord. What will he say to you? What is he going to reveal to you concerning his word? Father God, we give you this time in your precious name. Amen.
Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you.